In 1937, a film was released, and the title was Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. Now, there's something special about this film. It was the first full-length, traditionally animated picture. And the creators took all the technology they knew, and they created this film called Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. Here's another picture of it. The color was spectacular. And this film, while we all have heard of it, probably seen it, was a groundbreaking film. Groundbreaking because it was a game changer in the industry. Now, there's certain movies that come out, Jurassic Park, Toy Story, Gone with the Wind, Wizard of Oz, they are markers in the industry of going to the next level. But for Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, here's what happened. It showed what was possible in the future. Not only that, it somehow elevated the expectations of the people, the viewership like us. It moved the boundary markers to a higher level. It changed everything. One film going forward. I want to talk about something in the church life that changed everything. It's called Pentecost Sunday. Penta is 5, and Pentecost means 50. 50 days after Jesus gave his life on the cross, the church was born. It's called Pentecost Sunday. Acts chapter 2, here's what happened. People were gathered together, and God poured out his Spirit upon all the people, and amazing things happened. Can I tell you, you're a part of that. Because when God poured out his Spirit, it included us. And because you have access to what's called the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, it can change everything in your life. You know why? God is living inside you. So the title of today's message, the Holy Spirit, changes everything. It's a game changer. It just creates new expectation of what's possible in life, all because of what God did on that day in Acts chapter 2. In your notes, there's about 4 verses from Acts 2 that I'd like for us to read together. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were seated. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit enabled them. I want you to circle the word filled. Here's what happened. The people assembled there that day, they were filled to the maximum. In other words, their capacity, it was filled up in full measure. And the people experienced something they hadn't before. Now, there's a definition of Pentecost in your notes. Very simple. Here it is. It's the day that God made the Holy Spirit, which is his active presence on earth, available to every person. I want you to understand that what's available back then is available today. The Holy Spirit, third person of the Trinity, living inside you, it changes everything. Now, the big idea of the message, you can fill this in. The Holy Spirit makes all things possible in your life. I want to just stop and repeat that. You have things in your life that you may have given up on. You wonder if you'll ever change. You wonder if the other person will ever change. Or circumstantially, can anything get better? But when you and I understand that the Holy Spirit lives inside of us, which is God himself, can I tell you? All things become possible because of his presence inside of us. You see, the Holy Spirit changes everything in our life. Read with me Acts 1:8 in your notes. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised. You are to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. These are the words of Jesus. You know what he's saying? You got to receive the gift. And the way you receive the gift is this. Listen closely. Prayer precedes the power. The people there spent 10 days of prayer in Acts chapter 1 before Acts chapter 2 happened. They prayed for 10 days, 120 of them. Jesus said, wait in Jerusalem to receive the gift. And they did that. And they were blessed because of that obedience. So when I read this and thought about it, I want to tell you what God I felt laid in my heart. I want to call the church, this church, to a 10-day prayer period. Starts tomorrow, ends on June 3rd, 10 days. I put together a prayer plan, a little guide. They're out there on the table. And there's a theme to be prayed for every day. And we're going to conclude on June 3rd, Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're going to meet here in the sanctuary, and we're going to pray together. Now, you can pray this at home over the next 10 days. If you come to church, if your life group's meeting, if you're in a small gathering, take time to pray over certain areas in the church. One of the prayer points is for the new pastor. The board met Thursday night. We talked to some people. Jack is our regional superintendent. I'm the MEG chair, our conference superintendent. We've been active. We're talking to people, and we thought we may have a fish on the line, and it didn't work out. That's okay. And so we want to pray as a church family for a certain kind of person. You know who that is? The one who feels called. We don't want somebody coming just because it's a good idea. We want somebody who feels the call of God, like Samuel when he anointed David. There's a calling there. So that's one of our prayer points. And as a church body, we're going to just continue to lean into that for God to provide. And he's got that person out there. So the next 10 days, you can pick one of these up on your way out. It's 2 pages, very simple. I'd like for you to sign your name on the sheet. I hope we get a whole bunch of people in the church family saying, yeah, I'm willing to do this. Put the time in that you feel like you can and want to. So anyway, so that's our 10-day prayer plan for this next week and a half. Okay. Here's what I want to do. In the remaining time, I want to share with you 5 thoughts, 5 ideas of how the Holy Spirit can benefit you. I hope you find yourself in this message as I work through these points. Let's get started. Number one, how the Holy Spirit can benefit you is this. He can transform you. Transform you. Read with me those 2 paragraphs under point 1. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him. Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me 3 times. And he went outside and wept bitterly. The last portion in Luke 22 is about 51 days prior to Pentecost. You know what happened 51 days before that? Peter miserably failed. Jesus told him that before that Peter would deny him 3 times and the rooster would crow. That's exactly what happened. And you know what Peter did after he failed miserably a little over 7 weeks earlier? It says he wept bitterly. There was regret. There was remorse. There's a deep sense of wailing. He blew it, and he wept bitterly. But here's the point. You may have a huge failure in life. And you're trying to figure it out. You're trying to get back in the saddle. understand that Pentecost can literally transform you and restore you. Peter was the one guy who stood up on that day and was the voice of the disciples and the crowd of what God was doing. But 7 weeks earlier, he failed miserably. Now, I want to plant a seed. Failures come in different shapes and sizes. They could be 2 weeks ago. They could be 7 weeks ago. They could be 3 or 5 or 10 years ago. And people struggle with failure. Here's the good news. Pentecost changes everything. Because God's empowerment can help you get past your worst failure. So understand that when Peter stood up, it's amazing. You know why? He really blew it a few weeks earlier. Here's a quote. God has the power to transform any situation. If there's something in your life that you've struggled to get over, listen, God has power to transform it and to rescue you from it. All right, number two. I love this point. The second benefit of the Holy Spirit is this. He can create new relationship connections for you. Read with me Acts 2:42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Let's read the next paragraph. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. Circle the word fellowship in the first verse. It means koinonia, or a community of people. You know what God does when you get connected to a church body? You know what the Holy Spirit will do? The Spirit will lead new people into your life. And there's a sense of fellowship that happens that perhaps the biological family that we all have isn't totally complete. If you're here today and you have an incredible biological family that you've stuck together and you're intact, you are incredibly blessed. Many of us have a few holes in our family tree. But you know what the family of God does? Fills those holes. So we find in Acts 2, it says, every day they met together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. A few weeks ago, before Easter, Bjorg shared a message of how God creates new families. It is an amazing message. And remember, Jesus is hanging on the cross? His mother Mary is there, and is one of his best favorite disciples, John, is there. Jesus is about to die. You know what he does? He creates a new family. He said, Mother, there's your son. Son, there's your mother. Last day of his life. He created something new, and it says, from that day on, John took care of Jesus' mother. If you're here today and you have holes in your biological family, I tell you what, when you get together with other believers and they're good people, God will create new relational connections for you. I've enjoyed this through the years immensely. It's been marvelous to see God work in that way. Here's a quote. Life is about creating relationships with God and people. Let him do that for you. Now here's another one. He is your friend who pushes you near to God. I was up at the jail Friday. In the last pod, the ladies' pod, there's only two, and we had a little service together. The two ladies were in there because of drug addiction, greatly struggling with that. And we talked about people, places, and things. And we talked about who is it they need to avoid when they go back home. The time to make a decision of who you're going to avoid is while you're there, because you don't want to get home and try and figure that out. The same is true of us. There's certain people that will push you near to God. Be thankful for them. There's other people, be careful. If they drag you down, they're not healthy for you. Now, we all have friends, acquaintances, that we're trying to maybe pray over, encourage, lead them to faith in Christ. But the key is, am I influencing them more, or are they influencing me more? A good friend in the kingdom will always push you nearer to God. All right, number three. The third thing about what the Holy Spirit can do for us is this. He can heal you. Acts 3:6, let's read it. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up. And instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. Circle the word walk. Here's what it means. To be raised, to receive wholeness. And circle the word strong at the very end. Here's what this means. It means to make solid. You may be here today, and you have something in your life you've dealt with for years, and it needs to be healed. Can I tell you, the Holy Spirit changes everything. You know why? When God lives within us, anything can happen. The guy who's healed in this story, who was born as a crippled person, he's like in his 40s, and he found healing in his fourth or fifth decade. We find stories in the Bible of the one guy who was a paralytic for 38 years. Jesus came by and he healed him. Whatever it is in your life that you struggle with, understand that when the Holy Spirit lives inside you, anything is possible because God is living inside us. That will give us incredible hope. Here's a quote. "Christ is a good physician. There's no disease he cannot heal." At the end of the service, we're going to pray for healing for each person. All right, number four. The fourth thing that the Holy Spirit does for us, he can direct you. Read with me Acts 16:7-9. "When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, 'Come over to Macedonia and help us.'" Here's what's going on. Paul has a plan to go to a place in Bithynia. And it was a good plan. But the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jesus, which is pneuma, it's the breath of God, checks him. And he ends up going to Macedonia. Now, here's the point. If you have to make a big decision about something coming up, God will direct you through his Spirit if you're open to it. You know, I have to say, I love the phone and the Maps app. You put the address in, and for the most part, it gets you where you want to go. Follow the blue line. Stay on the bubble, right? And you know what happens if I make a wrong turn? It'll say, okay, I need to redirect you back to the plan. Do you realize that's what the Holy Spirit does for us? Sometimes we get off the track, and we got to listen, and he'll redirect us to get back on the blue line. And so the Holy Spirit is this GPS system, and that's what he does for each of us if we're open to it. Here's a quote. "God's purpose is more important than our plans." In other words, we all have plans and some work and some don't. But let the purpose of God prevail and let him direct us like a GPS system. Okay, number five, our last point. The fifth thing he can do is he can empower you. He can empower you. Read with me Acts 26:1. "Then said to Paul, 'You have permission to speak for yourself.' So Paul motioned with his hand and began his defense." Here's what he did. Paul is in the presence of the King Agrippa, and he gets an opportunity to share his story. And this chapter, there's 32 verses. It takes about 3 minutes. Paul was empowered to share how he was once a bad apple, a bad guy. The Spirit of God, through Jesus, met him on the road to Damascus. It turned him around, and now Paul's mission was to help other people figure that out. It's empowering. God wants to do the same for you as you share your story with other people. The words "began his defense," you could think of it this way. It's when a cable drops an anchor. You will have opportunity even this week, just as Lackland will too. You will have opportunity to drop an anchor into someone's life as you share what God has done for you. Can I tell you, the most powerful thing in your tool belt is your life story. And so we find here that's what Paul did for these 32 verses. He just shared his story. Here's one last quote. If you follow God, he will empower you to do things you didn't know you were capable of. Sometimes you get stretched. That's okay. God will empower you to do it. All right, so 5 simple thoughts. Number one, the Holy Spirit can transform you. He can help you recover from your worst failure. It's called grace. Number two, he can create new relationship connections in your life. Let him bring new people into your life. Sift them out. Make sure you have good, close friends. Number three, he can heal you. You may be here today and you've dealt with something for years. Listen, Pentecost, it makes everything possible because the Spirit of God lives inside us. Number four, he can direct you. You got a big decision to make? The GPS of the Holy Spirit will give you the wisdom of to go right or to do left. Number five, he can empower you to share your story. Concluding verse, it's in your notes. Let's read it. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Circle the word receive. Here's what it means. Actively lay hold of. To aggressively accept. You may be here today and you found yourself in one of these 5 points. You need to aggressively accept and actively lay hold of what the Spirit of God wants to do in your life. I guess there's one last slide, is there, Darlene? Okay. The Holy Spirit wants to supernaturally empower your life with his abilities if you only take your eyes off your own. Let's bow for prayer. Take just a few moments of silence and let the Spirit of God speak to you. I'm going to lead us in a simple prayer. You can pray it silently after me if you so desire. Father in heaven, thank you that you love me. I confess I need you. Forgive me for trying to do life my way apart from you. I confess my sins and I turn from them. I repent. And by faith, I believe Jesus died and rose again on the cross and lives forevermore. At this moment, I open the door of my heart and I invite Jesus Christ into my life. May he be my Savior and my Lord from this moment forward. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Did anybody pray that for the first time? Put your hand up and put it down. Anybody? Say, you know what? I did. I wanted my life to be surrendered to him. Anybody recommit themselves? Say, you know what, Lord? Here's my life again. Thank you. All right. Lord, I pray for everybody here today and those listening online who need a miracle of healing. And in the quietness of this moment, I pray that you'll draw close and that every person will receive the miracle of healing that they need. Whether it's physical, whether it's mental or emotional or spiritual, whatever it is, I pray that there'd be an encounter moment with the Holy Spirit on this Pentecost Sunday that will do for them that which they cannot do for themselves. Right now, Father, may each person receive it, lay hold of it, be open to it, for the miraculous to happen in their life. And for this, we give you praise on this Pentecost Sunday. In Jesus' name, amen.